Macmillan Audio presents Promise That You Will Sing About Me, written by Miles Marshall Lewis, read by Larry Heron.
Hi, this is Miles Marshall Lewis. Thanks for buying the audiobook to Promise That You Will Sing About Me. I pop by the studio to read this introduction for you and enjoy. Introduction. Kendrick Lamar sits back in a black leather armchair reading up on the quest for a black Christ. The twists of his kinky afro freshly twisted, lounging comfortably in a gray athleisure suit, he flips through pages older than his 27 years, a vintage 1969 Ebony magazine. Typical L.A. sunshine beams outside Milk Studios near Santa Monica Boulevard as the same publication photographs Kendrick for a summer 2015 cover. Someone on his Top Dog Entertainment team replaces a carefully curated playlist of Miles Davis, Duke Ellington, and Parliament Funkadelic with the latest Young Thug mixtape so he can loosen up, and it works. Kendrick stands to his full 5.5 feet and starts waving his arms animatedly for the clicking photographer as if on stage. Ebony's editor-in-chief asked me to create that rejected playlist well beforehand, suggesting songs made up from the influences on Kendrick's latest record, To Pimp a Butterfly. Media outlets had already reported specific jazz and funk inspirations behind the album. Miles, P-Funk, Sly Stone, John Coltrane, but clearly he'd already moved on. At Milk, I'd wanted to be a witness, a fly on the wall, knowing we wouldn't speak until much later at a Santa Monica recording studio. By the end of the photo shoot, Kendrick felt so comfortable in the Robert Geller suit chosen by the fashion director that he wore it to our meetup at UMG Iovine Studio and into the night, never to return it. My crash course in Kendrick Lamar Duckworth involved streaming a crucial MTV interview, a critical re-listening of his first major label album, Good Kid, Mad City, and looping the six-week-old To Pimp a Butterfly on iPhone repeat. Hit singles like Swimming Pools, Drank, Poetic Justice, and Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe dominated radio for years. I knew them well. Black Lives Matter rallies across the country had not yet adopted All Right as an anthem, but it was my personal favorite from the new album. I never delved into his earliest mixtapes from the early aughts or his independent debut album, Section 80. My deadline was too tight, our interview meant to focus squarely on To Pimp a Butterfly. That night, I asked him, "You've been compared to Nas, and he once recorded the unauthorized biography of Rakim. If you recorded another MC's unauthorized biography, whose would it be?" Not knowing he'd already done Corrupted, an ode to the 1990s Death Row Records rapper Corrupt 4 years earlier. The faux pas, not knowing my interview subject down to the smallest minutia, was forgiven. For a millennial like Kendrick, Ebony was probably that staple of every black grandparent's living room table right beside the Jet magazine and the bowl of peppermints. Before Good Kid, Mad City in 2012, he had already been known all over the rap blogosphere and among hardcore hip-hop fans for mixtapes like C4, Training Day, and Overly Dedicated. But he wouldn't have expected his grandparents' pop culture Bible to be as informed as, say, DJ Booth. We touched on more universal areas instead. I asked him at one point about opening himself up as an African-American male. Who do you feel truly comfortable talking to? As men, generally, we speak to each other about sports, sex, music, movies, maybe politics, and that's it, I said. Sitting behind an enormous mixing board full of equalizer knobs and levels, he leaned back thoughtfully. "I can't even answer that," he admitted. "With all the good things my father has taught me, this is one of the things he taught me that he shouldn't have, that I can't really confide to him in an emotional way, you know? My brothers and I were taught not to really show those types of feelings as men, especially toward another man, because then you're vulnerable. It's crazy. Most men will go to a woman." 3 months back, Kendrick had just become engaged to Whitney Alford, his centennial high school sweetheart. "It's really about trust issues, too," he continued. "I still need to figure that out." Top Dog Entertainment general manager Robert Reyes, known within the camp as Ret One, transported me from the Hollywood photography studio to the Santa Monica recording studio.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?